I want to speak tonight on this subject, how good people go bad. How good people go bad. I'm going to talk to you about two of the finest people in all of the Bible. One is Hezekiah, and the other is Jehoshaphat. There are seldom in the Bible any more admirable people than Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah. Now, basically, the message is this. Are you listening? Basically, the message is this. When a child goes bad, a good child, when a good child goes bad. Now, I'm not talking about a kid that's been in trouble all his life. Mom and dad are drunkards. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a good child. I'm talking about one of these kids on the front down here. I'm talking about one of our young people over here. When a good kid goes bad, there is something that is always present, and that something is bad company. Always is. Always is. When a good kid goes bad, there is always bad company involved. Now you say, well, how about the bad kid? He stays bad. He is the bad company. You see, he is the bad company. That's one reason why we have Hammond Baptist High School. In fact, that's about the main reason, really. That's one of the main reasons why we have the opening this next month of the Hammond Baptist Elementary School. Kids, you mark it down. Anytime, and I've been preaching now a long time. I've been at the post a long time. Anytime that you see a kid, one of our own, a good kid, go back. It is because of the influence of bad company. Always the case. Look, you stay in the right crowd and you won't go very wrong. You just won't. That's what happens when a good kid. How many of you have seen parents, heard parents say, well, there's one thing about my child. I trust my daughter. I wonder if you're all mixed up on anything else, too. I wonder if that's the only area that you're an idiot, or do you have other moronic tendencies, too? I trust my daughter. I trust my son. That's one of the cutest little statements that the devil ever inspired anybody to say. Paul didn't even trust himself. He said, if an angel from heaven, well, first he said, if anybody ever comes and preaches any other gospel that other than the gospel I preach, let him be accursed. Then he thought a while and he said, by the way, he said, even if an angel from heaven were to come, he realized that one time that Satan was an angel and he fell and Satan drew one third of the angels in heaven with him. And he said, if an angel from heaven come and preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Then he said, tell you what, he said, if I come back and preach any other gospel, let me be accursed. He didn't trust himself. Now, kids, I've said it, I'll say it, and I'll keep saying it, Stay in the right crowd. Stay in the right crowd. The same thing is true with the church. Do you know why good churches go bad? Do you know there were a lot of good churches in the American Baptist Convention? I got a letter just the other day from a fellow. He's pastor of a United Methodist Church. That's just the old line Methodist group that's gone liberal now. He's pastor of the United Methodist Church, and he said, I'm born again, I'm a Bible preacher, I'm going to pull out and start me an independent work somewhere. But he said, I wonder if you ever got any invitations to speak in the United Methodist Church. They won't even let me say hello in one of those things. Now, what happens? There, at one time, there were many good churches. I'm thinking right now, I'll just call the name of one. The First Baptist Church of Minneapolis, Minnesota, was pastored by the great Dr. W.B. Riley, who led the church in one of the great ministries this world has known, one of the most famous, if not the most famous, preacher, pastor of his generation. Dr. Riley thought that he could save the American Baptist Convention. And so, he tried to do so, and in so doing, he split his own church. He was there over 40 years, pastored the church after he was 80 years of age. But he died a heartbroken man and said he wished he had pulled out of the American Baptist Convention. Now, what happened to the church? The good church went bad. Why? Because it stayed in wrong company. It stayed in bad company. Pastors say to me often, Dr. Hiles, my church is, we are in a certain denomination. It's a liberal denomination. But we believe the Bible. We believe just like you do. No, you don't. You believe just like I did. You'd get out. You see, because I don't believe in bad company either. Now, you mark it down. That church may be okay now, but they won't be okay 50 years from now. What happens to good churches that go bad? Bad company, bad association. There's more to this thing of separation from the world than just the fact that God was sort of unkind and ugly and mean and didn't want us to have any fun. And so he told us a bunch of things we can't do. No, God knew and God knows to this day that nobody, no church can stay in bad company and still turn out good. That's what happens to denominations. There are some denominations. I'm thinking of one right now. I preach for them a great deal. And they're good. Right now they preach the gospel, but they won't long. And they've changed in the last 25 or 30 years. Many of your holiness groups, especially, have changed in the last 25 or 30 years. You know why? Because they got a little money, and now they have buildings, and they don't meet in the tent anymore, and don't meet in the basement anymore, and don't meet in the attic anymore, and the preachers have full-time salaries, and drive nice cars, and have shoes that match each other, and they're big boys now. And what's happened? The denomination has grown up. Now they won't act like everybody else. And what they're going to do, they're going to die like everybody else. What happened? Bad company. Somebody said, well, my denomination belongs to the National Council of Churches, but we still believe the Bible. You won't long. You won't long. No, you're in bad company. And by the time this generation passes off the scene, you leave the next generation in that bad company. They become like that bad company. There is not one denomination in the world that has ever joined up with liberal denominations that has ever stayed faithful to the Word of God more than two generations. Why? Bad company? Bad company? By the way, that's what happens to nations. And here's the sermon tonight. Whoever's popping you that, cut it out. Here's the sermon tonight, a part of it. What happens to good nations that go bad? Having Red China's ping pong team over. Nations are collections of people. Churches are collections of people. Denominations are collections of people. When people get in wrong bad company, but follow me. Did you know that the church that belongs to the, listen carefully now, to the World Council, that isn't the only bad company? That depicts bad company on the part of the people. That same church, the men, belong to the world of clubs in town, the country club. The same church that does not withdraw itself from ungodly denominations, that church has people that will not withdraw themselves from ungodly personal associations. The church, the denomination that belongs to the National Council has churches that belong to the local ministerial associations, the liberals and all, and that those churches have people, young people, that join up in high school with the worldly crowd. You see, the reason denominations go bad, churches go bad. Churches go bad because people go bad, and good people go bad because they get in bad company. All right, follow me. A good fellow gets in the wrong crowd, goes bad. So he takes his good church and puts it in the wrong denomination, and it goes bad. And they take the denomination, and good denomination, and put it in the wrong World Council of Churches, and it goes bad. Why? The man went bad because of bad company. He led his church into bad company, and it went bad. Led the denomination to bad company, and it went bad. And now it's all gone bad. Why? Bad company. Nobody can live and be right and stay in the wrong crowd. Don't care who you are. Never has happened. Never will happen. Bad company ruins good people. There's one word, that causes, usually, individuals, and churches too, have bad company, and that is conformity. We don't want to be criticized at school, so we get in the wrong crowd. We don't want our church to be known as a rock-ribbed, old-fashioned, fundamental church, and everybody to cuss us, so we get in the wrong crowd. You know, I just thank God, First Baptist Church, I thank God for our enemies. Every once in a while, somebody says to me, I just hate your church. And I said, blessed be God. Of course I thank God. Why? Because I do not want our church to ever get to the place to where we are not willing to bear the reproach of the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, people don't want to be different, so they get in the bad. You know why a girl sells herself out to the wrong crowd? Because she doesn't want to be considered a square. You know why she lets the unholy hands of many boys touch her when she shouldn't? You know why? Because she doesn't want to be different. She doesn't want to be criticized.
You know why young people sell out?
Because they get in the wrong crowd.
Churches sell out?
Wrong crowd.
Denominations sell out?
Wrong crowd. How about schools? Wrong crowd. Did you know that most of your accrediting association, nothing more than a school getting in the wrong crowd? Christian school getting in the wrong crowd?
Well, you say, why does the school want to meet these qualifications?
Because we don't want to have be off-brand, off-scouring, bear the reproach of Christ. We don't want to be different. We want to be a part of the main line. We want folks to say we're okay. We want the applause of man.
I heard about a fellow, true story. A fellow was driving down the street. Must have been in Hammond. He's driving down the street. He came. There's a train coming. There was none of these things coming down, that, you know, the things we wiggle around. And none of them coming down. And so, but the train was coming. It's coming 60 to 80 miles an hour down the track, just a little ways down. And the folks kept honking their horns behind the fella. And the fella was embarrassed. And everybody hated him. And folks said, move on! And they cursed the fella. And because he was embarrassed and didn't want to get criticized, he put his car in gear and took off across the track. And the train hit him and he was killed. Oh, you say, how terrible. That's what happens to young people. They don't want to be criticized, so they just floorboard it, and they end up not amounting to anything. That's what happens to churches. Listen to me. There is not a church in America that is really growing that is not willing to be unique and different. You've got to stand alone. So, bad company. Now then, how about nations? Why shouldn't Mr. Nixon go to Red China? There are 10 million reasons. First place, it is unscriptural. You say, give me an example. I'm glad you brought that up because I was wanting to tell you. Hezekiah was the king. A good king. Hezekiah, in fact, I want to read you some good things about Hezekiah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves. We read that this morning. And break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses made. And goes on to say, for he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him. What a man was Hezekiah. Here's a fella that really stood for God. One of the greatest kings that Israel ever had. Here's a fella who led in one of the greatest revivals that the country had ever seen. He was a tremendous king. Wise, a man of statesmanship, a man of financial genius, a man who led the people in agriculture, a man who defeated the armies of Sennacherib when nobody in the world thought he had a chance to lick them. A man of power, of military might, a man of statesmanship, a man of stature, a man of ability, a genius, and a spiritual man on top of that. I mean, he was just like us. He had everything. Hezekiah led the Jews in a spiritual revival, the like of which they had not seen or would not see over twice in their entire history. But Hezekiah did something wrong, and he went bad. Why? Because he got drunk? No. Because he got, like Solomon, got 1,000 wives and concubines? No. Because he let somebody cut his hair, like Delilah did for Samson? No. What caused Hezekiah to go bad? Got in the wrong company? Listen to me. Hezekiah got sick. Turned his face toward the wall. But finally he sought the Lord. And God gave him 15 more years to live. Now, I don't mean to say anything bad about the Lord. But I have always doubted the wisdom of the Lord letting Hezekiah know he's going to live 15 more years. I hope the Lord will forgive me for this. But if I were God, I'd want everybody to think they're going to die every minute. For a fellow to know he has 15 more years. I mean, he knew he was going to die. And I've always worried about that. I'm going to ask the Lord why he didn't check with me. Wherever I was a little cherub in heaven at the time. And you're doubting me again. It hurts me too. But anyway, Hezekiah had 15 more years to live, and he knew it. God had promised him 15 more years. And so he got some correspondence from Babylon. Now, Babylon, the wicked kingdom. Babylon. Vile, sinful, heathen, idolatrous Babylon. But they wrote to Hezekiah and said, Hezekiah, we understand the kingdom is at its zenith. We'd like to come and see it. And Hezekiah said to the heathen Babylonians, he said, come on over and visit me. And Hezekiah was ruined from then on. God hasn't changed. God never has been pleased when his nations make unholy alliances with wicked nations. Always there. I'll show you in a few minutes others, Asa and Jehoshaphat and others. But it has always been directly in opposition to God's plan for us to cater to or ally ourselves with heathen nations. And let me say this, make no mistake about it, there is not a more heathen nation on the face of this earth than Red China. Hezekiah was ruined. Why? Here's a man, had everything, spiritual, led in revival. Hezekiah had such a great revival, he took the idols and ground the idols to powder, as I said this morning. But Hezekiah made one mistake, bad company. Now you listen to me, kids. There's not a one of you that's a better Christian than Hezekiah was. Not a one of you. And all the rest of you kids, by the way, too. Not a one of you. There is not a person in this house that can stand up and say, I am more spiritual than Hezekiah. Hezekiah was ruined. Why? Because Hezekiah, he said to the Babylonian people, come on over. And the head of state from Babylon came, and Hezekiah showed them the riches of the kingdom. And let them see the atomic stockpile. And let them see the Air Force. And let them tour the armed forces. And let them find out our secrets. And what happened? Hezekiah was ruined. But there's somebody else in the Bible that's even more tragic case than that, and that's a fellow named Jehoshaphat. That name doesn't mean much to you, but Jehoshaphat was a great king. May I read for you 2 Chronicles, and I'll ask you not to turn because of time. I want to read for you 2 Chronicles, chapter 17, a few good things about King Jehoshaphat. Listen. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom of his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. What a man! Jehoshaphat! One of the greatest kings that Judah ever knew was Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat went wrong. You know how Jehoshaphat went wrong? Listen, I'll tell you. The kingdom had been divided to the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Listen, parenthesis. Did you know that's one reason why God blesses ignorant guys like me? Did you know that's one reason why a fella get up here and be mean and hard-boiled and stubborn and the Lord still blesses? Huh? Did you know God blesses people that stay separated? There's something about separation that is a prerequisite to the blessings of God. Now, a fellow may be mean and stubborn, and I am. I confess I'm guilty, and there are others that are too, and the rest of you are liars. But I'm stubborn. But you know, God will bless. Listen, God will bless a stubborn old goat that's willing to be different before you'll bless a fellow who has the right kind of disposition and temperament who's not willing to be different. God blesses people who stay walk alone. God blesses people who are separate. God blesses churches. Listen, let me just sort of go down through a bunch of them. Did you know? Take our Nazarene brethren. I preach to them an awful lot, and I love the fire out of them. God bless them. And I skin them. I was down in Oklahoma City last Friday. Preached 3 times to the state convention of Nazarenes. And I told them, I said, good night. Look out, look out, look out. You got a bunch of mini-skirted girls and long-haired boys on this campus. Watch it, watch it, watch it. And but you know what? God bless those Nazarene people. Now, I think they're wrong on some of their doctrines. I think that they're wrong when they're falling from grace. By the way, the more I see a lot of them, the more I believe they are. But I think they're wrong when they're falling from grace. Though I'll be honest, I like to build them for my books. I always tell the Nazarenes that I enjoy. I don't mind building a Nazarene. He can take my books, and I'll send him a bill. He can pay when he gets the bill. You know why? Because he'll lose his salvation if he doesn't pay. And so, now Baptists scare me to death. I don't build Baptists because they can live like the devil and go to heaven. The Nazarene, the big denominational Nazarene leaders, I've talked to all of them. I mean, the biggest men in their denomination. And they say, Dr. Hiles, we've got to have help. We're dying. We've got to have help. We are going down in our membership. We're going down in our Sunday school. We've got to have help. You know what? You know when God blessed them? When they were sort of the off-scouring of the earth. I can recall Nazarene Church back in Texas in our neighborhood. I couldn't get to sleep till 11:30 at night for the way they hollered and shouted. Everybody, we'd walk by, and we would. And I said, Mother, what's that? She said,
Nazarenes.
I'd say, who are they? She'd say, oh, just some peculiar Christians. Remember that church, Mama, that Pentecostal church there? Shelton pastored there on Ewing, close to Libby's grocery store. We'd come by that place. Listen, we'd been out of church at night, gone to get a milkshake, driven around a while, taken a walk, and walked the dog, and came back, and they were still singing. Boy, they'd run out there talking in some kind of tongues and jabbering and so forth. And I'd say, Mom, what they doing? And one night we went over to Alberot's church, the Bethel Temple Baptist Church in Oak Cliff. And I'll tell you what, I was so scared in my life. They hollered and they screamed, and one lady was singing, and all of a sudden she went, and I said, Mom, what's she saying? Mom said, I don't know. I felt like that colored fella at the funeral when the preacher said, he said, I feel like just saying to this dear brother who died, rise up! One colored fellow said to the one beside him, said, if and he do, the window here is mine. And I'll tell you what, this window's mine. But you know, God, now, they're wrong on doctrine. I don't believe in talking in tongues. I don't believe in sinless perfection. I believe in security of the believer. But God sometimes looks down and says, that little crowd, they're willing to be different. They're the all-scouring. They're hated. They'll stay at church late on Sunday night. They don't mind. They're willing to pass out gospel tracts and put Jesus Saves on the bumper of their car. And they're willing to pass out a tract on the street corner. And they don't dance at the high school dances. And they don't cuss in the crowds out of the plant. And they witness and they stand. They may look at it peculiar. They may put their hair in a knot right back here and not ever cut their hair. And they may not have any lipstick on or any rouge. But I tell you what, the Lord says, they're willing to be different. And God says, I'll bless them. Why? Because they're willing not to be like this old sin-cursed world that's headed for hell. God pity us in 1971 and give us some churches, preachers, and denominations who will stand up and say to a world, we'll dare to be different. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. There's a strange thing that happened. Now, I go to these church denominations and preach their meetings. What happened to them? They don't want to be different. I said to the Nazarene crowd the other day, that's why you girls have miniskirts on. Nazarene girls, sanctified girls, showing your thighs in public. The reason you do it, you don't want people to look at your long skirt and say, poor thing. Now, by the way, that's one of the things wrong with America today, and that's one thing that President Nixon, as sure as I'm an inch high, is falling prey to. President Nixon wants to become, forgive me for saying it, I don't mean to be unkind, but it's as true as I am loud. President Nixon is wanting America to become respected by heathen nations. You say, well, should we try to make peace? You don't make peace with a rattlesnake unless you shoot him in the back of the head. If there's a man loose in town and he's going up and down the streets and he's killing boys and girls and raping ladies and assaulting children and he's the scourge of the town, you don't have a meeting with him at Tebow's and discuss getting along with each other. What you do is you get yourself a gun and put it under your pillow. And if he shows his ugly face, shoot him in the gizzard. Godless communists know nothing but force. And on the inside of our nation, they're saying, disarm, disarm, disarm. No ROTC in the college. God bless that. Have pity on that kind of heathen garbage. We'd better build ourselves some ROTCs. We'd better build ourselves all the jet planes we can, all the anti-ballistic missiles we can, and all of the machine guns we can, and all the atomic bombs we can, and become the mightiest nation under God's heaven. That's the only kind of language that heathen people ever understand. And our president is catering to the screams of a bunch of long-haired, stinking, beatnik communists on the street, trying to get the 18-year-old vote. Won't work. It won't work. How do you know it ever has? Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. I'm going to prove it now. So turn the channel back on. Don't turn me off yet. Jehoshaphat was the king of the southern kingdom. Ahab,
What do you know about Ahab? Wicked king. What do you know about Ahab? Married to Jezebel. What do you know about Ahab? Henpecked. What do you know about Ahab? Godless. What do you know about Ahab? Hired his own prophets. What do you know about Ahab? Hated the true prophets. What do you know about Ahab? Star of the true men of God. What do you know about Ahab? Worshipper of Baal. Everything bad you can say about a king, you can say about Ahab. Everything good you can say about a king, you can say about Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat came to Ahab and said, Ahab, did you know that Ramoth and Gilead belongs to us? Why don't we go together and conquer it from the Syrians? What happened? There was a little preacher in the land. Well, first Jehoshaphat said to Ahab, Ahab, check your prophets and see if they don't say everything's okay. And we go together, we can take Ramoth and Gilead back. Ramoth and Gilead was a big high place on the east side of Jordan, a coveted place. It belonged to God's people in the first place. They had a right to it. It was theirs. And the king of Syria had promised that she could have it back. But he had never kept his promise. And so Jehoshaphat said, let's go together. Wicked Ahab and godly Jehoshaphat. Wicked northern kingdom and the godly southern kingdom. God's people in the south. Nothing personal with that now. God's people. I don't think I'm doing very good. And God's people in the south and the northern people, Ahab and his wicked forces. And Jehoshaphat said, let's go together. But said, first, why don't you inquire from your preachers? And Ahab went to his prophets. He had one prophet whose name was, Zedekiah. And he went to his prophets and he said, fellows, he said, tell me, could we conquer Ramoth and Gilead? And the prophet said, I know they had formal services. And they said, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Amen, 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 amen. It's always been the same. If you haven't got any power, you better put on the dog. And so what happened? Your Royal Highness, we would like to tell you that you and Jehoshaphat can go together and take Ramoth and Gilead. And so Jehoshaphat said to Ahab, said, is there any prophet of the Lord? You've asked the prophets of Baal. Now, is there any prophet of the Lord? Ahab said, there's old Micaiah, but I don't like him. He always speaks bad things to me. And Jehoshaphat said, why don't you've inquired from prophets of Baal, now find a prophet of the Lord. And so Ahab said, oh no, he speaks hard things to me. He never says it's going to turn out okay. And so he said, okay, have him anyway. So he brought Micaiah before him, and here's Zedekiah. Zedekiah is the president of the Ministerial Association. And Zedekiah is standing beside, here comes an old fundamentalist man of God up there. He's coming like this, because we're all fundamentalist men of God come. And he came up, and so, and the king said, Micaiah, we want to know if Jehoshaphat and I can go conquer Ramoth and Gilead. And Micaiah said, if you do, you'll die on the mountain. And Ahab never did like that sermon. And so Zedekiah, the pussyfoot and compromising, ear-tickling, back-scratching, penny-pinching, nickel-nicking, rose-water and pink tea and lemonade preacher, he said, what did you say to the king? And right in front of the king and the king's army and the king's men, Zedekiah slapped this Baptist preacher right in the face. Now, that really took courage, didn't it? I mean, it takes a lot of courage when you got the whole army of Israel there to fight for you and only one little preacher against you. He slapped him in the face. Well, what happened? Jehoshaphat got in bad company. Who? Ahab. What happened? Ahab was killed on the mountain, just like the man of God had said he would be. And by the way, our country is headed for destruction just like the men of God say it's headed for destruction unless we withdraw ourselves from ungodly yokes with heathen nations. And so, Ahab was killed. Jehoshaphat almost lost his life, but he begged mercy from God, and God spared Jehoshaphat. The battle was lost. And what happened? A little prophet named Jehu comes up, and in 2 Chronicles, don't turn to it, but I'll read it to you. In 2 Chronicles, there's another prophet in the land, and here's what he says. He says, and Jehu, the son of Hananiah, he's a prophet too, the seer, went down to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly? Listen to this. Shouldest thou help the ungodly? The man of God said that the prophet of God shouldn't have helped the ungodly. You sit with the house, don't you think we ought to pay for the illegitimate children all these folks, people are having by all the different men? Did you know we're not supposed to do it? And we're not supposed to feed lazy rascals that won't work for a living. And we're not supposed to send food to heathen nations to fill their bellies with which to just kill our boys on battlefields. You say, well, that just doesn't seem Christian to me. Well, honey, you don't have to let it seem Christian to you. All you've got to do is get off your high horse and believe God. I get tired. Saying, I just can't see that that's Christian. Well, check the Bible. Here's where it all came from. And the prophet of God said, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Hey, the prophet of God said, you shouldn't have anything to do with Ahab. What? He hates God. What kind of Christianity is it that lines itself up in heathen alliances with denominations and churches that hate Jesus and say he's not virgin born and say the Bible is not so and make him an illegitimate child of an adulteress? What kind of Christianity is that? It is not Bible Christianity. And so Jehoshaphat lost the battle, almost lost his life. Ahab was killed. What happened to Jehoshaphat, one of the best kings that Israel and Judah ever had? What happened? Bad company. It'll ruin you too. That's why I get up here and say, don't kid you, send your kids to these state universities. Bad company will ruin them. That's why I say, get your boys and girls in Hammond Baptist schools. Why? Bad company will ruin them. That's why I said, don't let your kids go with the wrong crowd. Don't let them spend their extracurricular activities time at school. After school, when school's out, if they're not in a Christian school, have them come home. That's why I say, let them build their lives around the Church of Jesus Christ. That's why I say, young people, go to youth activities. That's why I say, get in a teenage choir, high school choir, junior high choir. That's why I say, build your life around the church. Why? You will go bad if you get in bad company. Good people go bad because of bad company. But Jehoshaphat got right with God, and God blessed him anyway, and he had a pretty good time for a while. But something happened. Down in Tarshish. Now, where Tarshish is, there is a difference of opinion. Some Bible students think Tarshish is Spain. I don't think so. I think it's Great Britain. But to say the least, wherever it was, Spain or Great Britain, it was a land that was west of the Promised Land. Once every 3 years, Solomon and Hiram would get together and send to Tarshish and bring back some riches. What happened? Jehoshaphat decided to do the same thing. King Ahaziah, who was a wicked king and the son of Ahab, and by the way, he, I guess, was as bad as Ahab. Jehoshaphat didn't learn from his unholy alliance with Ahab, but Ahab was killed and he almost got killed. Now he makes an alliance with Ahaziah to go down together, go in business together. By the way, no converted person ought to go in business with an unconverted person. And so they decided to have a business venture together. And so every 3 years, now mind you, Jehoshaphat and Ahaziah said, we'll do like Solomon and Hiram have done. Girls, have a seat. Sit down. Find your seat now. You don't walk around in this church like that. You get your seats. Find your seat now. Ushers, put them down. Hurry. Move. We don't just walk around First Baptist Church like that. You got to grow up on. Stop them there, fellas. Right there. That's good. And you listen to everything I say from now on. Every word I say, you need it too. You're going to grow up one of these days, and you need to be in good company. This is one church where kids just don't get thirsty and got to go to the restroom, have to have a drink of water, and come and go. They sit and listen. And so, what happened? Ahaziah, wicked king, Jehoshaphat, good king, went together. But thank God, there's always a prophet. So a little prophet named Eliezer came up, warned them, didn't do any good, and tragedy came. That isn't all. Jehoram was also a wicked king. Jehoshaphat decided to fight a war on Moab with Jehoram. At 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 7, once again, the battle was lost. Now listen to me. Jehoshaphat, one of the greatest men that ever lived, lined up with wicked people and went bad. Now listen, I wish I could tell you illustrations without you thinking I'm being unkind to individuals. But I can tell you people that have left this church and gone to some other churches or another church
that were wonderful people. But they got in the wrong crowd and the wrong type of church. And they subscribed themselves to allegiance to that church. And because they hated us so much, they wouldn't dare admit they weren't liking what was going on. And now then, they themselves are home watching television tonight because their church doesn't even have Sunday night services. Whereas a few years ago, they wouldn't have thought of missing church on Sunday night. What happened? Bad company. There are folks tonight from all over the Chicagoland area. Come out here to visit, and I'm glad you do. God knows we're glad to have you. Now, I'm not trying to chase you off. But you belong to churches that belong to National Council, the National Council of Churches. You belong to churches that are in bad company, and you are in a church that is bad company. And as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit, your children are going to the devil. Go ahead. Just go ahead and let your child grow up in a National Council church. And let your child grow up in a church that embraces its own fellowship churches that deny this book is even so. Go ahead. But don't you be surprised when you weep your heart out because your kids followed in the pathway of your church. If your kids grow up in a church that stays in a bad company of churches, they will grow in bad company of individuals. Jehoshaphat didn't turn out so good. There's another. I won't go into it much because time is going, but there's Asa. He was the father of Jehoshaphat, yoked up with the Syrians. A prophet of God named Hanani came, and he told Asa, warned Asa, don't do it, don't do it. Listen, in every case, when a king lined up with a heathen nation, there was always a fundamental preacher came up and said, don't do it. Every case. I want to say this, and I know that I'm a Baptist and Carl McIntyre is a Presbyterian. And you know that he sprinkles babies and I don't. But I'll do another thing. That fella has gotten to point his finger in the face of a lot of people and warned them. And when it comes to the sins of America, you just mark me down for Carl McIntyre. I get a little weary of people, and some of our people say, well, I don't like that ranting and raving. Okay, if you don't like the ranting and raving, okay. But there's one thing about the fella. He's one of the few men that's heard by millions of people that stands up and warns America, statesmen not to yoke themselves up with heathen nations. Now, I'm not defending anybody. I'm not saying I agree with him on everything at all. I'm not. But I am saying, thank God there's somebody that says, Nixon, you ought to do it. You ought not to do it. I don't care. America has the idea that she is impregnable. We have the idea that we've been vaccinated against any kind of wrath of God. But you take a nation from the earliest nation on the face of the earth. There never has been a nation that lined herself up with heathen, made herself up with heathen nations that ever lasted. You take Israel. God put up with the Israelites in a lot of ways. When they complained, God had punished them, but he'd forgive them. But even they'd go into gross sin sometimes. God had punished them, but he'd forgive them. But when the people of God lined themselves up with heathen nations, there was always the judgment of God. You say, amen. Amen. I agree with that. What church do you belong to? Well, you say, I belong to this church that belongs to the American Baptist Convention. The American Baptist Convention belongs to the National Council of Churches, but says, I'm trying to exert all the influence I can to clean it up. Yeah, and when you get that all cleaned up, would you mind simonizing the sewer? And when you get done with that, drain the Pacific Ocean with a teaspoon. God never has blessed denominations, or God never has blessed people who tried to clean up denominations. God has blessed people who pulled out of denominations and started new ones. Lee Johnson, I think one of the first things I said to you was something like that in a hotel room over at Hilton Hotel when I first met you. something lack that I think that maybe splits have been the salvation of the big denominations. Something like that. Paul Bolderbuck, by the way, he died the other day. Did you know that? He died the other day. I got word, a phone call, Paul Bolderbuck, who was a member here for years, faithful member, on the pulpit committee when I came. But anyway, the thing that has been the salvation of this nation has been the fact when the Methodists went bad, the Nazarenes pulled out. When the Catholics went bad, in Europe, Martin Luther pulled out. When the Presbyterians went bad, the Free Presbyterians pulled out. When the Methodists went bad, the Wesleyan Methodists pulled out. It is always God's plan for His people to come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord. Always is. Always is. You say, Brother Hiles, that'd make you unpopular. Wouldn't that be too bad? Wouldn't that be a shame to be unpopular because you obeyed the Bible? Huh? Did you ever hear of W. Leo Daniel? W. Leo Daniel was a fellow who owned a flower company in Texas. He was also a hillbilly. He had a hillbilly orchestra, and it was really hillbilly. I mean, it would make the hillbillies embarrassed. He decided to run for governor of Texas. Texas had everything for governor. Had a lady one time, a woman, pardon me, Maul Ferguson. And we're ahead in everything. Women's liberation, everything. We're ahead. Texans are way ahead. But anyway, W. O'Daniel called himself Happy O'Daniel. And he got a big old van, a truck, and went all over Texas, stopping little towns, and he'd get his little hillbilly band out, and he's running for governor. And they'd play, I like mountain music, good old mountain music, played by the real hillbilly band. I like bread and biscuits, good old-fashioned biscuits. Hillbilly flower can make them grand, so while you sing and play and try to make folks happy, won't you say, please pass the biscuits, Pappy. I like mountain music, good old mountain music, played by the real hillbilly band. All over Texas, that fellow went, playing, running for governor. Did you know he got elected? We had to put up with that for 4 years. And you know he got reelected? We had 8 years of that junk. And folks would come from other states, and we'd say, it'd be a band out there playing, you know, and some idiot fool out there, and to say, who's that? Which, that's our governor. You could go all over Texas and never could find anybody that ever voted for Liberty O'Daniel. I said, did you vote for Daniel? No. They'd take a poll, and he'd have 15% of the votes lined up. But he'd get elected. Never lost. He just always got elected, but nobody ever voted for him. You take a poll in Hammond, how many folks like Jack Hiles and how many folks don't like him? And let me know the result of the poll, and I'll carry a gun tomorrow. I'll feel so insecure. But look at the crowd. Look at the crowd. What I'm trying to tell you is this. We're not dependent on folks liking us. We're dependent on obeying the Word of God. And God will keep our nation strong if we'd obey Him. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's what the Word of God says. If we just learn. If we just learn. One of our girls went off into sin, married the wrong fellow. She came to my office. Life is wrecked and ruined. I said, she's weeping and I was weeping. I said, where did you meet him? He said, skating rink. Skating rink. Bad company. Bad company. Boy went bad. Married the wrong kind of a girl. Life was wrecked and ruined. He came to my office. I said, where did you meet her? He said, state school. Bad company. Bad company. Parents, listen to me. Don't let your children get in the wrong crowd. That's the way good people go bad. Well, you say, when my children get to be high school age, I'm going to see they're in the rock right crowd. That's too late. They've got their friends by then. When your child, listen to me, when your child first says, Mommy, can I go over to Patricia's house and play, you find out who Patricia is. And you find out what they do at Patricia's house. And you find out what kind of parents Patricia has before you let your child go to Patricia's house to play. Your child can go to Patricia's house when your child is 5 or 6 years of age. She can go to Patricia's house and watch Patricia's folks drink liquor. And before you know it, that child is in her own mind already developing a soft attitude toward liquor. I love to tell about that little boy. It's a true story. He was a Nazarene. It's a true story. Nazarene. Well, Nazarenes back in those days were so strict. And the little boy, he slipped off from his mother. And he had never been to a picture show. And he slipped off one day and went to a picture show. A little junior kid, about the age seven, eight, about 8, 9, 10 years old. And came back. And his mother said, "Where have you been?" He said, "To the picture show." And he said, "Mama, could I say something?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "If you had ever tried going to the picture show one time, you'd never want to go to prayer meeting anymore." That's funny, isn't it? But that's what the message, that's what I'm talking about. You take a little kid, goes to the picture show with Patricia. By the way, if you have a neighbor girl named Patricia, I'm not talking about her. If you have a daughter named Patricia, I'm not talking about her. I don't think. You decide. But Patricia takes your child to the picture show some afternoon. Or she tells your child what went on at the picture show. And your child can't understand why she can't go to the picture show. Parents, good kids go bad because they get in bad company. Young people, you will not turn out right if you do not stay in good company. Jehoshaphat didn't. Asa didn't. Hezekiah didn't. And you won't. Check your Bible. There are many wicked men in the Bible. But check your Bible. Check the good men and the good people that turned out bad. Hey, how about Lot? Lot was a just man. He vexed his righteous soul over the wickedness of Sodom. How did Lot turn out? Terrible. Why? Bad company. Went to Sodom. Why did Abraham lie about Sarah being his wife? Did Abraham lie about Sarah being his wife when he was in the promised land? Not on your life. He lied about that down in Egypt. Why? He was in bad company. Bad company. Did Balaam turn while he was with the people of God? No, when he went to Moab and he got in bad company. Did Samson turn while he walked with the people of God? No, it's when he got with the Philistines and walked with bad company. It's always the case. It's always the case. No nation can survive who walks with heathen nations. No church can survive who aligns herself with heathen churches. And by heathen churches, I mean churches that don't believe the Bible is the Word of God and Jesus Christ is God's Son. And no denomination will survive as long as she stays in the National Council of Churches and runs with heathen denomination. And no person will stay right in bad company. What kind of crowd are you running with? You say, "I run with First Baptist Church kids." Did you know there are some kids in First Baptist Church you shouldn't run with? There are some kids sitting right over here right now you shouldn't run with. There's some kids all over this house you shouldn't run with. You say, "How will I know?" If they want to cut up in church, you ought not sit with them. If they want to go out after the service tonight and park on some dark road, you shouldn't run with them. Bad company. Heard about a pigeon. Looked out one day and saw the crows. He said, "I've been in this cage long enough. When they fed him, he jumped out of the cage, flew out a window that was open, and flew out with the crows. Man, did those crows ever take him for a tan. His feathers were ruffled, and they'd plucked a lot of his tail feathers, and he was a sight. Pardon me, he's a parrot, not a pigeon. I'm about to ruin the whole story. You hate me. You know why you hate me? Because I hate you. That's right. It was a parrot. Let me start the story again. One time there was an old crow lived in a house and saw the parrots outside. At least you're listening. And the parrot flew out of the cage and out an open window and came back in. He was a sight. And the farmer saw him as he hobbled back in, couldn't even fly, hobbling back in. And said, "Polly, what's wrong with you?" And Polly looked out, one black eye, and feathers all off, and Polly said,
"Bad company. Bad company."
He's ruined more than Polly. There are many of our young boys that have sat in these pews, sat in this choir on Wednesday night, and have grown up in our church that are not worth the powder it takes to blow them up for God right now. And in every case, the good boys that went bad got in bad company. Some of the sweetest girls we ever had, I'm thinking of a half a dozen right now, sweetest girls that ever came to this church, lovely girls, used to kneel here at this altar. Some boy that was good-looking, popular, athlete maybe at school, decided he wanted to make a play for him. And now the girls are not worth shooting. I heard a sad story this week about two of our boys in one family turned to liquor. Fine boys, grew up here, prayer meeting crowd, drinking liquor. Why? Bad company? Bad company? Bad company? Bad company? Okay, you say, "I don't believe it." Oh, you don't have to believe it, but you're going to find it's true. They didn't believe Micaiah either. Zedekiah slapped him in the face and said, "Shut up!" They put Hananiah in prison too. But when it was all over, Ahab was dead and Jehoshaphat was ruined and the kingdom was lost. You don't have to agree with the man of God now, but brother, you're going to. You're going to. The Bible is still true when it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath light with darkness?" You say, "Preacher, does that mean I shouldn't even speak to an unconverted person?" Well, of course that doesn't mean that. I go down to the clothing store, and I'll trade with a man who's unconverted. And I'll be nice to him. And I think he likes me, I know I like him. We like each other. We pass the time of day. We're courteous and kind. But we're not going to yoke up in religious endeavor. Don't you see what I'm saying? Let's take the fellow down the street. I'm going to close here now in a few hours, but let's take the fellow down the street. This church we're buying. Now, deacons, you know this is true. You fellows, you know that I treated that man with respect and courtesy. Now, the assistant pastor down there told me he didn't think it's important whether the virgin birth was believed or not. Now, we're buying the building. And we have been courteous and kind. I've offered to pay janitor bills for him because we have folks coming through to look at it occasionally and need to clean the place more often maybe. In every way, we've been courteous and kind and Christian in our behavior. But we're not going to yoke up together in a revival campaign. Why? Because it's unscriptural. But you say to me, it just looks like unity is better. Yeah, but you're not God, you see. And what it looks like to you doesn't matter. It's what it looks like to him that matters. And he said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelief."